Let's turn now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, page 681 in your Scofield Bible. 681, Proverbs 13, and we'll read only one verse. The text verse for this morning's message is verse 12. And let's read together. Ready? Where are we? 13:12? Okay. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. What a comfort and blessing it is to know that you meet with us as you promised, that every promise in this book is faithful. Thank you for it. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the great gathering here. Truly, we come with high expectations because we have a preacher who gives us the truth and who preaches that which he gets from thee. Bless him, bless, we pray, with thy Spirit's power, the preaching and the hearing of thy word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read my text this morning, and also my text is the title of my sermon, Hope Deferred Maketh the Heart Sick. That's the text and the title. Then I read for you another passage, a very familiar passage. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, and that word charity is the same Greek word for love. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I want to speak this morning on the subject, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I hope you'll listen carefully. I want to give you a little bit of a warning. My truth, the main truth of this sermon, is 20 minutes away. I am not going to give you the main truth, and I'm not trying to trick you, I'm not trying to keep your attention. I feel like that I should not give the main truth of this sermon to toward the end of the message. So about 20 minutes from now, I'm going to give you what I think is the main truth of this passage. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Our Heavenly Father, 38 and a half years nearly, I've stood behind this piece of wood to preach to these people. A 32-year-old young man to a 71-year-old senior citizen. I have taken this same book, I have read a passage or more, and I have taught and preached in this pulpit. Many of us would have lost hope had it not been for this place and for this hour. I pray you'd help us now, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me get this line here. I think one of the saddest things is when a person has lost hope. Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3:18, made one of the saddest statements of all, "My hope is perished." I love that little statement or phrase in Hosea. When Hosea, whose wife had left him, she had gone into whoredom, she'd become a prostitute, and left him with some children to rear. That little line in Hosea, I like it. It's called the door of hope. There was always a hope. That really is my job behind this pulpit, to keep you hoping and to keep you with a hope. Psalm 119, verse 49 says, "Thou hast caused me to hope." And that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to lose your hope. And my job, one of my jobs, main jobs, is to keep you with a hope. Ezekiel 13:6 made others the hope. And Psalm 22:9, make others the hope. Let me talk to you for a while about this little word, hope. Probably the most underrated word, non-proper noun word in the Bible, is the word hope. It is listed as one of the three abiding graces in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now about a faith, hope, and love. It's an interesting thing. I have heard hundreds of sermons on faith. Hundreds. I have heard hundreds and hundreds of sermons on love. I have never, to this moment, heard a sermon on hope. Amazing. Whatever happened to hope? Now, if I understand the scripture properly, love is the greatest of these three things. Now about a faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, using just a simple law of deduction, if the greatest is the last mentioned, wouldn't the second greatest be the next to last? And the third greatest be the first? Now about a faith, but something greater than faith, hope. But something greater than hope, love. So, this neglected, underrated word, hope, is the title or the theme of my message this morning. Then if that's the case, if hope is so important, if in fact of the three graces mentioned that are still abiding, faith, hope, and love, if love is the most important, we ought to emphasize love more than faith and hope. And then if using the same law of deduction, we ought to emphasize hope more than faith. But that we do not do. Now it behooves us then to find the meaning of hope. Now to understand, don't miss this now, to understand the meaning of hope, you've got to read, and we'll not turn to it, but I'll quote a portion, Romans 8:24. Hope that is seen is not hope. So what is hope? Listen, I'll tell you. Hope is saying, I cannot see the answer, but I believe there is one. Hope is, I cannot see my way out, but I believe there is a way out. Hope is, I cannot see the solution or comprehend what the solution might be. And I'm talking to a lot of people this morning in this room that need a hope. I mean, you don't know the solution to your problem. Now, despair is one word. Hope is the next word, the opposite word. What is hope? I cannot see it, but somehow, some way, it will get better. I don't know how it will get better. I cannot tell you when it will get better. I just believe, though I cannot see it, I just believe that some way, someday, it will get better. I cannot see it, but some way, someday, it will end. This burden I carry. I cannot see its end. I cannot see it finished. But I believe that someday, some way, though I do not know the day, do not know the way, I just believe that someday it will end. Or, hope is saying, I believe that somehow, someday, I will win. I cannot tell you how I will win. I don't know how I will win. I have no idea how I can win. But I just believe that someday, in some way, I will win. What is hope? Hope is saying, I cannot see how I'll make it. I can't see how I'm going to rear these children without my husband. I can't see how I can sit in a wheelchair the rest of my life and rear my family. I can't see that. But hope is saying, I cannot see how I will make it, but I believe I will make it. What is hope? Hope is saying, I cannot see how I can endure, but some way, someday, in some way, I shall endure. What is hope? Hope is saying, I cannot see it, but some way, someday, it'll all work together for good. I love God. I'm in His will. I cannot tell you how it's going to work together for good. The whole thing is foggy. Hope is saying, I can't see it. I can't see through the fog. I can't see in the darkness. I do not know how this is going to turn out right, but I believe that some way, someday, it's going to turn out okay. Don't leave me, because I'm going to get to the message in about 15 minutes. That's the main theme. What is hope? Hope is a Job looking at a negative bank balance and saying, some way, I'll make it. Hope is a Job looking at foreclosure papers and saying, some way, someday, I'll make it. Hope is Job looking or facing divorce proceedings and saying, some way, someday, I'll make it. Hope is Job having to look at empty fields and empty barns and attending the funeral of his servants. We forget that. Job not only lost his children to death, he lost all of his servants, all the folks that worked for him. What a lucky guy he was. But all the folks who worked for him, he lost them. It's Job attending their funeral service and saying, some way, someday, it's going to work out. It is Job having his goods destroyed by a fire, and then other by a tornado. And then it's Job facing insolvency and saying, I've lost my wife, I've lost my children, I've lost my house, I've lost my servants, but some way, someday, I'll make it. Folks, if this old preacher could make you do one thing in life, my ministry here will not be in vain if I can just keep you with a hope. I'm not here to tell you how it's going to work out. I just want you to have a hope that it will work out. That's all. I'm going to tell you something I believe. And this is going to shock you. I believe, personally, Marlene Evans is going to live a lifespan. I just believe she is. I think she's just outmaneuvered God. You say, well, how you mean? Yeah, I have a hope that Marlene Evans is going to live a normal lifespan. Of course, normal lifespan is only 35, but I have a hope that she's going. I don't know how, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen about it, but I somehow believe it. Hope is Job standing at 10 caskets and saying, somehow, some way, someday, it's going to be all right. Hope is Job visiting 10 fresh graves and sitting in the ash heap of the city with his health gone and saying, somehow, some way, someday, it's going to be all right. It is Job in chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 4, unable to sleep at night. It is Job in chapter 7 and verse 4, saying, when will the night end? It is Job looking in the mirror in chapter 16 and verse 8 and seeing a wrinkled face. It is Job in chapter 16 and verse 8 looking at his body shrunk by disease. It is Job in chapter 16 and verse 16 seeing his eyes as dark as death. It is Job in chapter 17 and verse 1 hearing that his breath is corrupt. It is Job in chapter 17 and verse 7 losing his eyesight nearly. It is Job in chapter 16 and verse 20 having his friends scorn him. And there in the ash heap of the city with his wife turned by her back on him, his 10 children dead, all of his possessions gone, his friends gone, his health gone, his hope gone, Job said, I have a hope. I have a hope. Well, Job, how's this going to turn out? I don't know. Well, Job, when's it going to be over? I don't know. Well, why do you say you have a hope? I believe it will turn out. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I believe it will turn out. It is Job in chapter 17 and verse 3, having folks refuse to even shake his hand. It is Job in chapter 17 and verse 6 becoming a byword in his home neighborhood. It is Job in chapter 12 and verse 4 being mocked by his neighbors. If Job said good morning, his neighbors said good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? How are you today? It is Job being mocked by his neighbors. It is Job in chapter 19 and verse 13 having his own brothers having nothing to do with him. His own flesh and blood brothers disowning him, having nothing to do with him. It is Job in chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, having his new servants abandoning him. It is his wife refusing to get close to him in chapter 19 and verse 17. It is little children despising him in chapter 19 and verse 18. It is having the ones he loved the most turn on him in chapter 19 and verse 19. This is Job. And yet, listen carefully, this was the man who was perfect and upright in the sight of God. This was the man who feared God. This was the man who hated sin. This was the man who helped the poor. This was the man who cared for others. This was the man who helped invalids. This was the man who provided for widows. This was the man who became eyes to the blind. This was the man who became feet to the lame. This was the man who was called father to the poor. This was the man at whose presence old men stood and bowed when he walked by, and young men revered him, and princes hushed when he spoke, and nobles sought advice from him, and children adored him from the top of the earth to the bottom, from the king of people to the scum of the earth. Job went, and Job said, I was on top, now I'm on bottom. Little children adored me, now they make fun of me. Ancient men bowed before me. Now they won't even talk to me. My wife would love me, and now she won't even get close to me. My brothers were close to me, and now they shun me. Well, Job, what you got to say? Job said, I have hope. I cannot see the light, but there is light, Job said. I cannot see an answer, but there is an answer. I cannot see the way out, but there is a way out. I cannot see the solution, but there is a solution. Somehow, some way, it will get better. Somehow, some way, it will end. Somehow, some way, I shall win. Somehow, some way, I'll make it. Somehow, some way, I shall endure. Somehow, some way, it will all work together for good. What is faith? Listen to me. What is faith? Faith is Job, in the condition that we just mentioned, saying in chapter 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What is hope? Hope is saying, with all the condition, in chapter 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What is hope? Hope is Job in this condition saying in the same verse, he's coming back and shall stand on this earth someday. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't hope for anything else, hope that Jesus will come. The blessed hope, the Bible says. And Job said in the ash heap of the city, with all the conditions and circumstances I just listed, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He'll come back and stand on the earth someday. And in verse 26 of chapter 19, he said, in my flesh I shall see God. And then chapter 19, verse 27, he said, mine eyes shall behold him. In chapter 13 and verse 16, he shall be my salvation. So I don't know how, don't know when, can't understand it, can't comprehend it, can't plan it, but he shall be my salvation. Now boy, get this one. In chapter 23 and verse 20, he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know when I'll come forth as gold. I don't know how I'll come forth as gold. And this is in the Hebrew, but by cracky, I will come forth as gold. Job, you're crazy. You're senile. You've lost your mind. You're sitting there in the ash heap. You've got a disease, a form of leprosy. Your wife has left you. Your children are all dead. Nobody respects you. Old men won't listen to you. Boys and girls mock you. You can't eat. Your breath is bad. Folks won't get close to you. Your wife won't get close to you. And you say when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When shall you come forth as gold? I don't know, but I shall come forth as gold. How will you come forth as gold? I don't know, but I shall come forth as gold. It is Job in the condition I described a while ago, saying, his way have I kept. I did not quit keeping his commandments in chapter 23 and verse 12. I esteemed his words more than food in chapter 23 and verse 12. In chapter 27 and verse 5, I will not remove my integrity from me. And in chapter, by the way, what he said is this, it's going rough, but I'm still going to be honest. It's going rough, but I'm still going to be pure. It's going rough, but I'm still going to be clean. It's going rough, but I retain my integrity. And then he said, I will keep doing right and good in Job 27 and verse 5. Now listen to me, folks. Don't lose your hope. Let me come to my text. Hope deferred. What does that mean? Hope put off. I'll hope someday. No, he said hope today. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now listen carefully. The heart, as I've taught you before, is the seat of emotions in the human makeup. I love you with all of my, finish it, heart. You done stomped on my heart and made that sucker flat. That's my favorite song. You done stomped on my heart and made that sucker flat. But the heart is why I love you. I love you. Now, as I said before, in some countries and nations, civilizations, the liver, the young lover will say on Valentine's Day, the card will say, I don't love you just as liver, I love you with all my liver. And that's, no applause, please. But, I love you, my name's Sydney, I love you with all my kidney. That's what some people say. Some people think the kidneys are the seat of affection, and some people, February 14th, will say, I love you with all my kidneys, and some will say, I love you with all my heart, and some will say, I live with all my liver. But in the Bible, the heart is the seat of emotion. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So when the heart is well, that means your shout's well. When your heart's well, that means your praise is well. When your heart's well, that means you have joy. I'm happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. The Savior said, whosoever will, they come to him to stay. I'm saying that if your heart's right, you're not grumpy. If your heart's right, you praise instead of pout. If your heart's right, you shout instead of pout. And God said, if you lose your hope, you'll lose your heart. So don't lose your hope. Some of the happiest people I know are the people who have the most problems. You know why? Because they haven't lost their hope. Now get it carefully. Here's the truth. But what if it never works out? What if I hope and hope and hope and hope and have a hope and have a hope and have a hope, but it never works out? Well, Brother House, what if I hope and hope and hope and hope and there is no solution? What if I have a hope, have a hope, have a hope, have a hope, and there's no question to my answer? And what if I die without having my hope fulfilled? Now, you don't understand it. Now, don't miss this. Here's the truth. Love is not, hope is not a means to an end. Hope is an end. Hope is a traveling partner that you enjoy traveling with if what you hope for never is achieved. It's hope that makes you happy, not what you hope for. So, if you keep on hoping and don't get what you hope for, you enjoyed life because you had a hope. And if you have a hope, the heart is well. If you don't have a hope, the heart is sick. So if you want to be happy in life, keep your hope. Oh, but Brother House, what if Miss Evans goes on to heaven soon? Well, I still enjoyed thinking she wouldn't. So, if it never works out, you will have lived a rich life because hope was your roommate. I wrote these words. I hoped the sun would shine again, replacing clouds and rain. I hoped that some relief would come and drive away the pain. I shared with hope the feeling that the way would soon be clear. And as we groped to find our path, dear, hope was always near. I hoped to find solutions for the problems of the day. I hoped to find the answers to the questions on my way. Yet day by day, no answers came. solutions fled away. The past stayed dark, the journey drear, but hope was there to stay. At journey's end, it was just the same. Continued I to grope. No answers or solutions came, and all I had was hope. Did sorrow cloud my weary heart, and did I weep and mope? 'Twas not the end that brought me joy, but traveling with hope. My life was rich and filled with peace until my journey's end, for hope was constantly with me and was my dearest friend. My problem yet has not been solved. Yet I have learned to cope. 'Twas worth it all to travel with my constant friend named Hope. May I testify? I have in my life some things I could not tell you how they will end. I have some things in my life I cannot tell you how I can win. Somehow I believe I will. I have some things in life that I cannot tell you how they'll ever be solved. Some problems, I'm testifying. I have no way to tell you how they will be solved or if they ever will be solved, but I believe they will. I have some heartaches in my life that I cannot tell you how they will ever flee. But somehow, I think they will. I don't know when. I don't know how. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, preacher, it looks hopeless. That's when hope can take over. If you can see your way through, that's not hope. Because hope that is seen is not hope. Hope is invisible. Hope is when you can't see the way, but say, I'm going to make it. I don't know how. I don't know when. Hope is saying, I don't know how I can endure. I can't take it. I don't know how long I can take this, but I will take it. I don't know how. I don't know when. Ladies and gentlemen, let me build your hope today. Have a hope that is steadfast and sure. I know some of your burdens. I know some of your heartaches. Randy, have a hope that you'll walk again. If you die and never have taken another step, you've got 10 billion years to jump and run and play. But if you keep on believing, I'm going to walk someday with my physical body, you may never do it. But the hope can make you happy. The hope can give you joy. So I say again, hope is not a means to bringing something to pass. Hope is something that is brought to pass. It is the end. The fellow traveler, the bedfellow, the friend that walks with you everywhere you go. I do not see the way. I don't understand it. I can't find a solution. It's dark and it's cloudy and hazy. I don't see the answer, but there is one. Thus God, there is an answer. But if there is not an answer, it is worth it all to live and die with a hope. With that, let me read it again and I'll close. I hope the sun would shine again, replacing clouds and rain. I hoped that some relief would come and drive away the pain. I shared with hope the feeling that the way would soon be clear. And as we groped to find our path, your hope was always near. I hoped to find solutions for the problems of the day. I hoped to find the answers to the questions on my way, yet day by day, no answer came. Solutions fled away. The past stayed dark, the journey drear, but hope was there to stay. At journey's end, 'twas just the same, continued out of grope. No answers or solutions came, and all I had was hope. Did sorrow cloud my weary heart, and did I weep and mope?
'Twas not the end that brought me joy, but traveling with hope. My life was rich and filled with grace until my journey's end, for hope was constantly with me and was my dearest friend. My problem yet hath not been solved, yet I have learned to cope. 'Twas worth it all to travel with my constant friend named Hope. That's your old preacher this morning. Tell you, he doesn't know the answers, but he knows how you can enjoy not having the answers. Have a hope. Have a hope. And may I with the psalmist say, he made me a hope. And may I with Job say, I have a hope. Keep on hoping. Keep on hoping. And if what you hope for never arrives, hope's been there all along. And the hoping itself was much better than that for which you hoped. Would you bow your heads, please?